meeting again on a little... Yes, can we have Honorable Mkongi, Honorable McPherson, Honorable Luyengi, Honorable Hill Lewis, Honorable Elvis. Right, Honorable... Sorry, my apologies, I had to turn right round. Honorable Mantash, thank you. Yes, Honorable Mkongi, is that correct? I've got everyone, thank you. Now let's enable everyone to have a chance to ask a question. Let's not take more than one, thank you.
No, thank you very much, Jefferson. No, firstly, Jefferson, I would like to welcome the briefing from the minister on the matters that are relating to the National Gambling Board. I think Parliament has been waiting for this briefing. But what is very important from this briefing, which I want to make it as a matter of importance, is the hands-on approach of the minister on this particular matter. I mean, personally, as Mkongi, I'm very impressed by his swift intervention on the matter. Immediately after he received these damning reports from the Auditor General. However, what I want to understand to the minister is what is the pace of this investigation in relation to the stability of the board? Because what we want now, we want a fully blooded board that is going to be functional. Secondly, what are the challenges that are being faced by the two administrators that we have put thus far after they resumed their duties to deal with the board? Are issues of head that will be rolling, they will be rolling after the report have been presented to you as a minister and thereafter to Parliament, or that process begins with the process when you launched the disbandment or the suspension of the board? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too. And now we go to the Honourable McPherson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Minister, for being here. I want to take this committee down a walk through memory lane about how we've got to here and why it's taken so long.
Yeah, but just a minute while you're there. I see the Honourable Mkongi kept to under 2 minutes. That is our normal practice, 2 minutes. You can have another bite.
So, Chair, I think with all due respect, this is something that we've been waiting for a long time, and to start limiting it to 120 seconds becomes problematic, so I would ask for your indulgence on this matter.
You won't get more than 2.5.
The Minister first became aware of this only after the Auditor General brought it to his attention, which I find concerning, because from what I can see, there has been a rampant destruction of corporate governance in this board, and for that only to be made aware to the minister through the Auditor General's report is very concerning. But what is more concerning than that is that he then acted on the 9th of September to suspend the board. The public announcement was only made on the 22nd of September. The chairperson only received the reasons on the 16th of October, and we are only being briefed on it on the 6th of November, which is 2 months after the fact. And for me, Minister, it seems that you've been evading this committee on this particular issue, and that I take issue with. But what I also take issue with is that the suspicion around the 58 million rand lease over 10 years is that an official from your department signed off on that. Now, if one looks at what the rand per square meter is, it is nearly 3 times more than what the market rate is. And what we need to know at the end of the day is, will the forensic investigation, once it is complete, will that report be provided to this committee, and can you give this committee assurances that criminal charges will be laid against any and all officials and board members or ex-board members that are found to have acted in a criminal manner? I also want you to comment on the NSEM's contract, because that was also one of the highlighted problems of the board, is that the board had become personally involved in the RFP for that contract. What I understand is that the operator receives 110 million rand per year in fees for operating that contract, yet the NGB only receives 110,000 rand per year. How on earth can that be, and what are you going to do to rectify that, and how are you going to start from scratch with the RFP for that particular contract? The Honourable Hill Lewis and myself paid an oversight visit to the board, and we had found five boxes of shredded documents, which appeared to be that of the minutes and the agendas of the 40 board meetings that were held in a year. I'm concerned that there may still be elements within the NGB that are operating to obstruct justice, as we have seen in this particular matter. With regard to the EBTs, I have in my hand here a request for an application from the Limpopo Gambling Board for operators for seven licenses from the 31st of October to the 5th of December. They are operators are asked to make an application for that. I've received conflicting communication on whether or not there is some form of a moratorium either through the DTI or through the Gambling Council. Can you please clarify what the position is with regards to that? Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like all members to appreciate I said 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes at the extent. You actually had 3.5. Now, I wouldn't like that to be pursued as a pattern. Right, Honourable Liyenge.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Let me fully agree with the views that have been shared by Honourable Mkongi with regard to the swiftness and the approach that the Minister has used in order to take action on what has happened at the National Gambling Board. I want to once again appreciate the responsiveness on the part of the Minister by not avoiding this portfolio committee, by informing in writing the chairperson, and it was not your responsibility, Honourable Minister, for you to give that information on days that we were not in Parliament and it was during weekend. My question is with regard to the conduct of the affected personnel. Are they adhering to the conditions of their suspensions? Is there any period within which you contemplate to conclude all the processes, and that will be based on their conduct during their time of suspension? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Liyenge. I then got Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to pick up on the issue of the DTI's oversight of its entities. The Auditor General has made the comment in your annual report this year that he's not satisfied that the DTI's oversight of its entities is adequate, and that this is something that can really be strengthened. And I think that's highlighted in the case of the National Gambling Board. When one studies the details of the National Gambling Board's annual report for this year, and indeed for the last financial year as well, you actually start to unpack an entity which has been in serious trouble for not just this last financial year. For example, one finds that you made brief mention of the travel costs, but in addition to the 1.6 million rand that was spent on the sending 9 board members to Oslo, in one financial year, the board also went to Turkey, Tanzania, England, Singapore, Mozambique, and Las Vegas in one financial year. They spent an additional, over and above the 1.6 million to Oslo, 950,000 rand sending 7 board members to Las Vegas. Now this is something that the DTI has known about. It's been in the annual reports. It's been that, you know, those reports have been signed off and submitted. So I really want to focus on this issue of internal oversight by the DTI of the entities. I don't think that the oversight has been adequate over the National Gambling Board. And I don't agree that the DTI acted swiftly when these problems came to the fore. The DTI only acted after the Auditor General had already completed his audit and submitted his report. These problems were prevalent and visible long before that. I also want to underscore the point about the sidelining of this committee. I don't think it's acceptable that the suspension was made on the 9th of September and that we were only informed of the reasons on the 16th of October, even when the board, in the person of the two co-administrators, presented to this committee long before that on the board's on the National Gambling Board's annual report. Then on the issue of electronic and online gambling, I think I'll wait for the second round, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hill-Lewis, for that. Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wish to echo the comments made by Honourable Hill-Lewis regarding the late information given to us about the suspension. Furthermore, there was a report today in Business Day newspaper. I don't know whether the Minister has had sight of that, where apparently the Chair of the Board has written a letter to Business Day to explain their position. And one of the reasons that they give that they were suspended is because they did not allow a secondment that the Minister wanted to implement to take place. Now, perhaps I could just quickly read to you what the news report says. This is a quote from the letter by the Chair. "We cannot help but believe that the Minister's haste was linked to a secondment agreement prepared in July 2014, in terms of which the barroom trade industry attempted to second one of its employees to Melo Baleni, the present co-administrator, with disregard to the judiciary process of the board to the National Gambling Board." And I would just like to hear the Minister's comment regarding this allegation made by the Chair through Business Day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Albert. I just need to be a bit cautious here. There was somebody after Honourable Muntush. Who was it? It was Muntush after you, but who was after you? Oh, Honourable Colonel. Honourable Muntush.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the report that has been offered to us today, which we've been long waiting for. But we understand that the Minister has a very, very busy schedule. I don't think it has been out of him avoiding this comment. All we want to say is that we hope that we will get that report of the outcomes of the investigation and what the department intends to do to those officials who have been found to have acted incorrectly in conducting their duties. Chair, I want to say to the department that as we're trying to create jobs, in the quest of us trying to create jobs, we cannot allow, we are of the view that we must draw the line that there must be no bingos around here for gambling. We must concentrate on the hotels that are there, that are established, that will contribute to the economy of this country. I just want to check with the Minister whether is there a clause in the suspension of those members that prohibit them from entering the premises until the investigation is over. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Muntush. Honourable Colonel.
Thank you, Chairperson. I shall be quick. I think it's a little bit unfair criticism against the Minister. You know, I think he acted very decisively, especially when there was an argument whether the board should resign or should not resign. I think he acted there decisively and showing his hand that he's willing to resolve this matter. So I think really we should be fair in the criticism towards him in that. The gambling board is not the only thing he's running. The other thing about the chairperson's comment in the business day, with due respect, you know, if he can only focus on that and not explaining to the public in South Africa that they've been overseas 7-8 times at a huge cost, you know, really I do not take that comment seriously, but let's wait for the minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kurnoff. I'd like to correct a few things, because it does seem as if the media don't have the opportunity to ring me to clarify issues. Now, it could also be because I am so busy that they may not get a chance to get hold of me. So I want to say this at the outset. But I want to correct a few misstatements here. Perhaps they aren't misstatements. Perhaps it's a lack of recall. The issue is very simply, we had Heritage Day on the 24th of September. The committee together took a decision we would not have a meeting on the 23rd, the Tuesday, but rather that we would meet Thursday and Friday in a training session preceded by housekeeping. Now, I was informed in an email from by the minister, simply not giving all the reasons, yes, but as I said to the committee, indicating to me that he would be suspending the gambling board. It followed thereafter in the papers. The very earliest practical time I could inform the committee was not to exercise my power to request the speaker recall the committee to hear that, but rather to wait till the committee meeting on Thursday. Thursday itself, after Heritage Day, when I did. Heritage Day, you know, was followed by other committee work, and the committee took a decision to invite the minister to come and brief us, as he's doing now, and that this would be on the 14th of October, given that the 29th, I think it is, to the 13th, was constituency period. But the DA, the Democratic Alliance, wanted to just add a bit more substance to this and requested not only should we do that, but take the opportunity to also address the issue of EBTs, electronic bingo terminals, and that we could utilize the same period. And then a decision was taken we would invite the select committee to attend, as well as invite the MEC, where it appeared as if the request to have a moratorium on EBTs was not being pursued strictly. So we thought we would invite both the select committee as well as the MEC in from KZN, under whom this fell. It later turned out in a communication from the office of the minister that he would be overseas on that date, and that was communicated to the committee. The minister doesn't always take his own decisions to go to certain places. These are sometimes at the request of the president. However, he would be overseas. It was then agreed that we postpone and ascertain when the minister would be back in the country and when we could link up the three things, the select committee, the minister, and the MEC. That is not an easy exercise, I assure you. So I want it very clear that we were informed before the media, it came out per se, but also that the the DG gave us a response that the minister has referred to, and it is that response which came, I'm sure, on the 21st of October. Oh, sorry, the 16th of October. That is after our meeting on the 14th, after the constituency period had concluded. And I do think one of the things I've learned is that if in the media you have an outright lie, you can refute it. If the impression is created through omission, it is very difficult. Because what are you refuting? You need to add flesh. So I caution the media to get the facts. And these facts are obtainable from the secretary of the committee and the chairperson. Thank you. Minister, over to you.
Well, thank you, chairperson. Let me just say that one or two of the questions, like the challenges faced by the administrators, I'm going to ask the administrators to speak to. But I'm going to come in where you came in, and I think thank you for the clarification. I reject with total and utter contempt any idea that I've been evading the committee or parliament on this matter. It hasn't been the case. We are here, and we are being open about what we can be open about. This is an investigation that is not complete. I don't have the luxury, because I have to respect the rights of the people that have been suspended, the rights for them to go through due process and for the investigation itself to be conducted in a way which is in conformity with all of the relevant precepts of the Constitution and the public service laws in this country. I have to respect that. So I can't sit here and do what the colleagues over on the other side seem to be able to do. They've decided that the trips abroad were excessive, that there was a problem with the electronic monitoring system and all of that. All of those matters, as I said, are in the purview of the investigation. I might add that I don't think that it helps, and it could actually create a number of problems, that members of the committee are pronouncing themselves in this kind of way, or that they think that oversight by members of parliament means that individual members of parliament have got the right to go walk around the institution, inspect the rubbish bins and whatever. I think that's a matter that I think in the fullness of time I want to address when and up to what point are individual members of parliament empowered to engage in these kind of things. There is an investigation that's taking place, and I think that it is important that no member of parliament sullies that investigation or the integrity of that investigation. There were a couple of questions. I actually mentioned the point at the beginning. The indicative time frame I have been given is that we are expecting this investigation, the report, to be concluded by the end of this month. I don't think that's written in stone. If the investigators say they need more time, I'll give them more time. But that is what I've been told at this point in time. And then we will have to look at the recommendations, because this is a set of recommendations. And let me just give this assurance that the chips will fall wherever they fall. Whatever comes out of that and whatever follow-ups they're going to do, we will not be shielding anybody or anyone for any reason whatsoever. I think that I want to give that assurance. Now let me say on a couple of the other things. Parliament, the Portfolio Committee, the opposition parties, all part of the oversight. If the oversight by the DTI didn't pick up all these problems in previous years, what about the role of Parliament? What about the role of the Portfolio Committee? You sat here and went through annual reports and you did bruise with this entity. What about that? What about your role there? You didn't pick us up either. Having said that, though, I think that I am of the view that we do need to strengthen our oversight over entities. One of the issues that we've been raising is that we are questioning why it is that we have different entities with boards. What is the rationale, and is it still valid?
And one of the obvious examples that we've come up with is we have said that why is the liquor regulator an entity in the department and the gambling regulator as a board? Unlike the provincial boards which issue licenses, the National Gambling Board does not issue licenses. It should be a regulator. So why is it sitting there? We've raised that matter. And it's part of the strategy of the department to bring entities like that. We started with the National Regulator of Compulsory Specifications. That was included in the amendment, the legislation on that. And this is a candidate as well. And one of the reasons for this is that when somebody wants to claim huge amounts of independence, I start asking myself, why? Is it really because you want to do your job better? Or is it because there's some other motive that's underlying that? So, I mean, this is the journey that we're putting in here, is to improve the oversight over these entities that report to us. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I must respond to the point that was raised by the Honourable Albert, and just say that I wasn't even aware that there was a proposal to second the administrator before. It wasn't even in my court. If anybody made that proposal, it had absolutely nothing whatsoever with the decision that we took to suspend the board and to conduct the investigation. Nothing whatsoever. So I think that is not the case. So I'm saying that I have to observe the procedures. Some of you have got the luxury to go out and say everything you think, whether you think the travel was excessive or there was a problem with the electronic monitoring or the building contract. I said all of these are in the purview of the investigation. I'm not going to pronounce myself one way or the other until I receive the report of that investigation. I have to respect the rights of the people to due process, and that's what we will do. Then let me just say there was are there elements, are the part of the terms of the suspension are that the people are not entitled to go into the premises of the NGB. Nothing has been reported to me to say that any of them have, but I let the administrators tell us whether that is the case or not. If we come across anybody, if you want to say, how did you put it, Mr. McPherson, elements who try to obstruct justice, if we come across that will be an offence, and we will not hesitate to act against any cases of that where we come up with credible information. So let me say, I think that the Honourable Montash, it is part of the suspension letter that was there. I'm here. I think I'm doing as much as can be done. When the report comes out and we take action, of course we're accountable again once again to Parliament. We'll have to come and explain what we've done. How much of the report can be released will be something we'll have to consider on the basis of legal advice. I mean, sometimes there are things in these kind of forensic reports that are confidential and not necessarily we can make it put into the public domain. We will certainly account for whatever happens after the forensic report is concluded, and whatever the forensic report decides, we will act accordingly. And then I think I just wanted to, you didn't really come back on our electronic bingo moratorium. Let me say that the only moratorium that we've really got is with Gauteng province. We agreed on a moratorium with Gauteng province. Well, we've raised the matter in the Gambling Policy Council that the rollout of electronic bingo. We've not secured a signed and sealed moratorium. But I think that we have been of the view as the national level that actually electronic bingo in the form that it's been rolled out with slot machines is actually not bingo as envisaged in the Act. We've been of that view. There's been contrary legal opinion on the side of some of the provinces, and we've been trying to solve the matter by way of an understanding with the provinces. So I think, for example, the MEC for KZN, I think is of a similar mind. But we still have to pursue this matter with across the board. But I think that is our view, that we roll these things out at our peril. We will be undercutting the consumers, and that will be to the detriment of jobs and investment in this economy. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Minister. I've just been shown something by my committee, by the committee secretary, Mr. Hermans, in the Business Day. For the record, I have never refused anyone from the Gambling Board an opportunity to meet with them. So it would be rather interesting for me to get this letter or whatever. And I think it's so easy simply to make allegations and for the media to print it. Yes, Honourable MacPherson.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to find out from the Minister if there's any current litigation that the NGB is involved with any previous or suspended official staff or whoever, and what his knowledge is on backdated contracts by a law firm in Gauteng that had backdated HR contracts to July 2014. I just want to say, Minister, that I'm somewhat disappointed. I haven't heard you say that you're taking responsibility for this as the Minister. This is your department. You should be taking responsibility for what's going on here. And you said that you reject with contempt that you've evaded Parliament on this particular issue. The fact of the matter is that this is 2 months after this decision was taken. You missed questions last week. And in my personal opinion, you're following the President's lead on these sorts of issues. And that we have every single right to perform oversight duties. Whether it's to go to the NGB or any entity that falls within this portfolio, we have every single right, and certainly the Honourable Hill Lewis and myself will continue to perform that duty. That is something that I can assure you of.
Thank you very much. Let me just indicate whose hands I've got. Honourable Mkongi had his hand up even before Honourable MacPherson. It was just that I didn't see it, the staff did. So to be followed by Honourable Mkongi, to be followed by Mantush, to be followed by... I did, not in the order you think. Honourable Hill Lewis, Honourable Lu Yenge. Now, is there anyone else? Right, no. But again, for the record, so that the media don't get these strange allegations, I may say that had I read and received this email or this letter or whatever from the Professor de Vries or whatever, I would have responded saying that given the suspension, it would not be wise of me to agree at this point, but that I would seek legal advice from the parliamentary officer attached to us. That's what I would have said. Unfortunately, I haven't got it. So, in the order, Honourable Mkongi.
No, thank you, Chairperson, but you have done it before I could speak. I was going to request you not to respond to that media release, because this is poor journalism. That you have one opinion, and the person that is accused or is said anything about him or her, you don't go and consult that person to have a balanced story. So you know which media we're dealing with in the Republic of South Africa. So if I were you, I was not going to entertain them by giving them a response at this point in time. Similarly, Chairperson, is a grandstanding that is taking place in this committee by other members of the committee. Grandstanding, behaving as if they have not been part and parcel of committee meetings that have been considering the invitation and the request for the presentation of the minister to this committee and receiving correspondences from the department about the whereabouts of the minister. When this matter, because the naked grandstanding is when a person was given an opportunity to ask a question yesterday in the National Assembly and received a response from the minister, is coming in this committee again and raising this matter. So this narrow and childish politicking is not going to make progress in this committee, Chairperson. And I would request you to intervene on that particular matter. But I want to, for record, that the minister, you have made a good job here. You intervened in the crisis at the earliest stage of the crisis, and you were hands-on in the resolving of this particular crisis. You gave a terms of reference for a forensic investigation. Now, as a responsible South African, you are awaiting the formal and concluded report from the people that you have given. So for me, you must not be shaken of the steps that you have taken. We have raised this matter time and again. Your annual report that we have been coming here have been raising, the turnaround of this particular department in the last 6 to 10 years. So, Chairperson, what I want to suggest is not us to ask about Gauteng, all these matters. In the last meeting, two last meetings that we had, we proposed what the minister must re-include in the terms of reference. We discussed at this committee the terms of reference, and then we said all other matters of financial implications, even if they include a provincial personality, must form part and parcel of the terms of reference. And these issues that are being asked here, this committee suggested that they must form part of the terms of reference. And now we have not received a formal report from those who are investigating. Now, what do you want here? So I suggest that, Chairperson, that we await a formal report as Parliament and consider that report when the minister tables that report at the end of this month or at the beginning. I'm not sure when I'm closing here. At the end of this month, and we consider that report as a committee. Because my worry here, we're talking about names of people here, and the report have not yet said anything about those names of other people. And we destroy people like this in the Republic of South Africa by naming them before finding facts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I was a little lenient with you, giving you just a little less than Honourable McPherson, but let us not pursue that line because time is short. Honourable Mantosh.
I'm not going to disappoint you, Chair. I raised my hand because I had wanted you to intervene when attacks are directed at the minister, because we have explained in detail the dates under which we have discussed why the minister could not be here, and we've been given reports. It is just grandstanding for the media from some members of this committee. And I don't see any fault in what the minister has done. I wanted you to protect him, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Mantosh. Honourable Hill-Lewis.
Chair, let me stop by just correcting you on two things. The letter that we received... The letter that we received on the 22nd of August was perfunctory. It was exactly the same wording as the statement that Mr. Madubi put out to the media. It gave us no information on what the suspension was about or what the reasons were. We only got that on the 17th of October. Let me also say, Chair, that you did receive the email from the suspended chairperson of the board because it was copied to us. The email gave a comprehensive response to the minister's, the department's suggestions of wrongdoing. And it asked for the opportunity to come to this committee, and that was on the 23rd of October that you received that email. Then, Chair, just to say on the NGB, on the visit to the NGB, I really defend that. When we went there, it was us who discovered that there were 5 boxes of shredded paper and that there was definitely a security problem at the NGB's offices. Long after the suspension had taken place, someone got into those offices and started shredding paperwork, and I don't know what's going on here, but someone got into those offices and started shredding critical paperwork that's necessary for the investigation. So, you know, I, don't apologize for that at all. I also don't apologize for reaching the conclusion that 8 overseas trips in one financial year is excessive. It is absolutely excessive. It paints a picture of a board that saw their roles there as being nothing but gouging as much as they could possibly get from the taxpayer in the shortest amount of time. It's completely unacceptable, and I don't apologize for reaching that conclusion either. But let me come on to the issue of electronic and online gambling. I think the situation with the EBTs is a perfect example of why the policy stasis in the department around this issue over the last few years has been damaging. On the one hand, we are seeking to ban online gambling, which can be perfectly well regulated within the law using the best and cutting-edge technology and software to protect consumers of that gambling product. On the other hand, we've allowed the unrestrained rollouts of EBTs, which offer no protection, which are incredibly difficult to regulate, which directly cannibalize from casinos. On both of those issues, the department has been silent for nearly 5 years now. In fact, more than that, 6 years, since 2008. So, Minister, I must say I'm slightly comforted by your assurance today that we are just starting a debate. It wasn't presented as such to the committee last week, I must tell you, but I'm comforted by that assurance, and I'd like to participate in that debate, and this committee, I'm sure, would like to participate in that debate, and I'd like to hear your suggestions on how we should do that. I must tell you, I think banning online gambling is futile, number one. It's a bad decision because it's impossible to enforce, even with your suggestions that you can stop payouts. I promise you, before you have stopped answering this question, I can have a credit card issued in the name of an American bank which will allow me to receive any payments I wish, and all done online from here in Cape Town. It's futile, it's impossible to enforce, and we are missing out on... You say that the jobs and investment is there's no guarantees. But what I can guarantee you is if we ban it, there will be no jobs and investment. At least if we regulate it properly, there will be back office call centers, there will be offices here, customer walk-in centers, all that kind of thing. There's a potential for significant investment in South Africa. And, of course, the revenue. That shouldn't be our guiding light, but it is still a relevant consideration. So it is a debate that I'd very much like to participate in, and I don't agree with the initial intervention that the department has made and the initial direction that the department has indicated it seeks to go in.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hill-Lewis. Honourable Luyenge.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me, on a fairly and squarely basis, reiterate the statement that says, here the minister is taken without holding the ball. Here we have received presentation by the chairperson with regard to the processes that actually culminated to this particular meeting. And we were prompted by the minister offering this information. There hasn't been any endeavors on the part of the minister to avoid this particular meeting. Secondly, Chairperson, we need to guard against the environment that is leading to the 2016 local government elections, because seemingly 2016 is taking its toll in this committee. And it is very dangerous to the operations and in the execution of our duties as this portfolio committee, which is part of Parliament. We are Parliament, but the manner in which we do things with the help of the sensational reporting by certain media quarters, which cannot be accepted. But as a responsible minister from a responsible organization, you must take responsibility of everything that goes the way of the communities of this country and reject any mechanism that seeks to undermine your authority and the authority of government, including the president. There is no way that we can align anything that we do with the president if we are not politically grandstanding. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Yenge. And just on that point, I need to remind members, just now the bells of the house will go, we'll be sitting at 1400, as you know, so we're going to get a very brief response. Just before we get the brief response, I don't think we should, what should go out of this committee should be a position that ignores the fact that Parliament also has a robust oversight constitutional duty, which I think the Minister has also reminded us of. And of all the people sitting here in the committee of the last term, the fourth term, there are only two of us, myself, who chaired the committee, and the Honourable Hill Lewis. There isn't anyone else. So certainly as chair, as I indicated to the Auditor General, it is even more important for us to look for what I call red flags. What is it that will alert us to this kind of thing so that we don't find ourselves getting to this situation again? And I think that that is an important lesson for us all to learn, that it took us this amount of time to really, as a committee in a previous parliament and a committee now, to see that. But over to you, Minister.
Well, thanks very much, Chairperson. I want to start off with agreeing with the Honourable Liangi. I think that if anybody imagines that this is some kind of a Socratic exercise in which we have a dialectic and we reach the truth, you're in the wrong place. This is about political grandstanding, and I think if we ignore that, we don't know where we're at. And I think that that is reflected in this point about whether or not I've been evading Parliament or evading this committee, and I just reject that with a total and utter contempt. I just repeat that again. For your information, I was over in China on the day of the questions last year, last week, with the permission of the President to support the value-added trade fair in China and to engage with the Chinese Ministry of Commerce, which is also the co-sponsors of that. We would have lost out in terms of our capacity to elevate that event if I had not been present. There was an acting minister who was prepared to answer the questions and the follow-ups. Then he was called to something. We indicated his deputy was prepared to do that. And then we were told, no, there was going to be this other arrangement of putting the questions on yesterday. I didn't balk at that. I came along prepared to answer both questions. But the rules and the way the thing was constructed, only one of those questions was answered. So I reject that. I think this is just nonsense. Secondly, let me just say as well that it is the right and responsibility of members of Parliament to conduct oversight. But I'm saying that I think what we're going to have to explore, and I'm saying this without saying where I'm going to draw the line, but what does this mean? Does it mean that an individual member of Parliament can pop into an agency, speak to somebody if the senior leadership is not there, just speak to whoever's there, and demand access by into the back office and walk around and look at everything? Is that what it entails? I don't think it does entail that. And I actually think that we need to have a much more organized system of oversight. I'm in discussions about what that's going to entail. We can't have a situation where, you go in there, and again, this is not a Socratic exercise where you're seeking truth, because you go in there, you went into the CIPC, you had an engagement with runners outside who we do not support, and have been trying to counter the runners. The commissioner indicated certain action that they were taking in the particular case you were talking about, and yet the press statement comes out about how the situation is out of control and I must intervene, something like that. That's the sort of gist of it. So I think that we're well aware that this is about political grandstanding. So let's just be honest about it. This is not a search for truth or whatever. What I will say is that I am taking responsibility for the situation that's here. I'm taking responsibility by appointing a forensic audit that's going to look at the issues. And I've already said. That the chips will fall where they fall. That's what I've already said as well. So I think that is what is required at this point in time. You have the luxury, sitting where you sit, to say that you think that the number of trips is excessive. I can express no opinion on that one way or the other, because that is a matter that is sub judice in respect of the investigation. But you have that luxury to do that. We don't. I think it would be remiss if we have a process like this and we follow the precepts. It would be remiss for a parliamentary committee to try to set itself up as some kind of a tribunal or an investigative body. I think it would be remiss of that. That can't be correct. That you call in this one, call in that one, and try to debate the matters out here. I think that would not be the respecting the rules of procedure and the rights of everybody in that regard. Let me just say very briefly. Yes, I think that I already said Parliament and the committee will have to decide how it wants to engage in that debate. I just want to say that I do not think that every single form of gambling is inevitable, and that we just simply have to stand back and passively accept that there's some new form of gambling, somebody's come here and they started doing it, and therefore we must let it happen. I don't think that that is the case. We have to draw lines at a certain point in time, and I'm just suggesting a few criteria for the drawing of those lines. In the meantime, electronic gambling is not authorised in South Africa. I don't think we must sit back. I think it would be my view does not mean that, oh dear, well, anybody can do it, get away with it. Those people that are doing it are contravening our law, and we must actually act. We need to, look at what forms of gambling are creating competition against the bigger forms of gambling in terms of job creation. That's my view, and I think we should debate that out further. I think there were a couple of questions that were raised, which I think the team who's in charge of the gambling board should respond to. And they were asked about the challenges they're facing. And then there was a question of current litigation by the applicants. And let me say, there was that phrase I used. I must just explain it: collectively or individually. There's a number of individuals. That's what's going to be discovered. Were the errors, if there were any errors, were they by the board as a whole? Is everybody on the board culpable, or is it some? That's an issue that's got to be discovered. If indeed it is found that there's anything there at all, and then the backdated contracts, I'd have to ask them as well to comment. But perhaps Caroline or Tumelo, you want to say something?
Yeah, if you could just comment briefly, because some members have got statements.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the challenges that the co-administrators will be facing, amongst the matters that we've listed in response to the Honourable Member's questions, the first one is basically the vacancies to ensure that we are able to move forward with implementing the mandate of the entity. Other challenges we have indicated is basically the financial position of the NGB, which has come through even in the annual report presentation. And then what it is we would like to also ensure we are able to see through is basically what comes through as the minister's priorities and what it is the entity has committed. Some of the matters the minister has already alluded to regarding the combating of illegal online gambling. And then also, you know, what the NGB would be doing going forth with respect to the modes of gambling which derive the most revenue and, you know, give contribution to job creation. Further also, the specific instructions with regards to anti-money laundering interventions. Definitely there, the NGB is dependent on other stakeholders or entities to ensure money laundering is curbed. And then further we have to look into enhancing the capacity of the inspectorate and what is envisaged with regards to the NGB's future regulatory function as opposed to, as the Minister has indicated, just being a licensed authority. Why are we not looking at it or rather the NGB being more a regulatory institution. So basically those are challenges that we have and are faced with, and we hope to see through in ensuring that these priorities are addressed and dealt with. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm very sorry, but we are going to have to cut this short because there are statements. Certainly, I'm not sure who's got a statement and who hasn't, because we don't receive the order of the statements, unfortunately. But it would be necessary for me to close. I personally would like to say a lot more, but I realise I can't. It is more than 2 o'clock as I sit here. So, or shall I start talking? Because I really think we've got to close at this point. Really, we must. So, no, I also want to put something for the record, so I'll go outside and do it, because it is 2 o'clock. It is 2 o'clock. And I want to say thank you for coming. There are a few other things. I was going to deal with them, but we can't now. And I think that we would look at the program to see when we can. So our next meeting is... Our next meeting is tomorrow at 8:30 in M514. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.